Praise God. He is good. And He loves us. He cares for us. His goodness is forever and ever and ever. The Bible says that sometimes we as evil parents like to give good things to our children. How much more our Heavenly Father? How much more our Heavenly Father desires to give us good things when we ask Him? Amen. Praise God. The title of my message today, it's called, He Knows You by Name. I think another title can be also given, going to this story, is The Power of the Cross. He knows you by name. And sometimes it can sound a little creepy even. Who knows my name? Sometimes when we go on trips or we visit some family members and we just go, for example, let's say New York City, and there's hundreds of people, and you're just walking and you're so free in your walk because you know that nobody knows me here. Nobody knows me here. And then can you imagine all of a sudden out of the crowd, somebody's screaming, Pavel! That might be freaky, right? And you're like, man, there's the only city I tried to run away to just be myself and still somebody knows me. But I want to tell you and talk about Jesus Christ, somebody that knows us wherever where we at. Sometimes we'll be running like Jonah from Him or from others. We can do our own things and we can be in our own room, but there is someone that still knows you. From afar off, He knows you, He recognizes you. And He doesn't just know about you, but He knows you by name. He doesn't just hear you, what you're talking and what you're saying, but also knows the thoughts that you are having in your mind. Not only the thoughts, He knows the hearts of human being. And His desire is to be there for us, to save us. And His voice is not there to condemn us, but to bring us closer to Him. In our life, sometimes we might run from some people because they know something about us or we owe them something. And we feel so uncomfortable that they know us. I was talking the other day with a friend of mine, and they said that one of their children is undercover. And he basically has totally different identity. His name, his address, everything is fake about him. Because if some of his enemies find out who he is, they might harm him, or his family, or his friends. So sometimes we can hide even who we are in front of our friends or enemies because we're afraid. But when we become Christians or even non-Christians, it doesn't matter who we are. There is nothing that we can hide from God. We are walking before the Lord like an open book. He knows everything about us from the past, present, and future because He is the Almighty God. He's sovereign. And sometimes we can come before Him and try to perform on our good days. We can dress really nicely, buy a nice car and perform and impress everybody. But He knows the issues that we're dealing with inside. He knows our life. He knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. Sometimes we might know people or we think we know. And when they do something bad or when they do some choices in their life, we're shocked. We're saying, how can this person do this? I would never think he would come to a conclusion in his life to be able to choose the way he went about. But in front of God, there is no surprises. He knows us. He knows us by name. He knows the thoughts that we're thinking. But He also says, but I have good thoughts for you. Even though you feel like you're a loser, God says, I see something that I can give you so you can become a winner in me. Even though you have low self-esteem about your life, if you come to me, I will enrich you
And I'll remind you that you're beautiful, made in my image. Even though our sins can be many, He can come and say, you know what? If you put your trust in me, I can cleanse you, I can wash you, I can make a brand new person. And sometimes it's almost mind-boggling. How can you make me a new person? How can you change me? When I've seen psychiatrists, when I've seen her to help, when I went to people to help me to behave better. Sometimes we can help or do some things in our life to just help us manage some things, what to say, not to say. And the change happens from outwardly appearance. But when God brings change, He brings change in our lives and in our hearts and sets us free from the bondages that we're dealing in our mind. There's a huge difference. And if we are saying in our life, how He can do that? The same way when we go to college, we become a little smarter, right? When we're getting education, we grow and become a little bit more tempered and more smart, more educated, and we know what to do, we don't know what to do in different circumstances. But the sin nature in us is still the same. And this is when we come to Christ, He changes us from inside. He transforms us. He puts a love for people that we naturally don't have. He puts desires in us that we naturally don't have. He puts a hunger in our hearts to read the Word of God that naturally we don't have. This is Him, because He knows us, and because there is power in the cross. There is power when He died on a cross and resurrected the third day. And He says, so you can live forever. So you don't have to live where you're at. You don't have to struggle with things that you're struggling right now. And it doesn't mean that all of a sudden when you come to Christ, all things are gone. But what it means is that He's there with you every step of the way. And you don't have to be afraid, because He is there. I want to read a passage from the Word of God, and it's written in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, and then verse 9 and 10. It says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of his crowd, for he was of a short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed on a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste, he came down and received him joyfully. Let's say everybody together, joyfully. Joyfully. Verse 9 says, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. A unique story. I knew the story while growing up. Our parents used to read the story to us. And we were thinking, wow, how amazing was the moments when this man came to Jesus. And it was always portrayed to us that Jesus came to save the sick, the lost, those who are very far away and confused, not for the perfect ones. Because the perfect ones always thought that they're good. We deal with this in 21st century. There's a lot of people that think that they're good in their own strength, in their own abilities. They do a lot of good things. They give tithes, they give offerings, they pay for the sins. They do a lot of things that a natural man probably doesn't want to do. And with this, they're trying to justify their relationship with Christ. But Jesus says, you know what? I came for those people that don't have hope anymore. I came for those people that seems like life is done for them. I came for those people that are sick. I came for those people that are lost. I came to those people that are dying in their sin and they're searching for victory. Not just something to plug it in the pain in their lives or to just zoom out from their problems. by fooling themselves that they can do something to just avoid the reality in their hearts. But he came for those people that are honest and say, you know what? I'm in hell. I'm in need and I need help. I'm broken and I need you to heal me. I am far away, but Jesus, I need you to bring me closer to you. This is who Jesus came for. And the Bible says in this story, there was a man named Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector. How many of us like to pay taxes? I mean, when it comes to that month, you're like, oh my goodness. But we have to do, the law says that. But overall, during that time, there was a lot of corruption. When people were in this business, so to speak, there was a reason why they were there. In different words, they were stealing money from people. They had money that they didn't earn. And they were wicked people. They were blinded by the riches that they could have. And the Bible says that he heard about Jesus. Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was in the city. And he wanted to see him. He wanted to meet with Jesus. He wanted to know more about him. What is this man all about? And the Bible says that he came and all of a sudden there was a crowd of people. The Bible doesn't say exactly how many people were there, but if there was a crowd, I'm assuming there were probably a couple hundred people at least. Because it says that he could not see Jesus because of the crowd. And another thing that he could not see Jesus because he was of a short stature. In different words, if we travel to a concert or we go to an event, there is a lot of people there. Sometimes it's really hard to see a person that you're looking for. A few months ago, we went to a concert in Hershey. Gators were doing. Lovely concert. Christian concert. That's important. Christian concert. And I was looking for my wife and for my friends that they were in the midst of people. And all of a sudden, I passed by. And everybody, mind you, everybody's sitting. And I'm looking for them and I can't see them. I'm walking by them. And I'm so captured to look for them that I can't even see them. And then they start waving, hey, I'm here. Oh, there we go, you're right here. And I found them. But can you imagine if everybody's standing, if everybody's worshiping, everybody's doing something, and you're trying to look for one person, it might be hard to find that person. And this story says that Zacchaeus, he had a desire to look for this man named Jesus, who he heard that came to save the world, who he heard that he heals supernaturally, who he heard that he can give life to those that are dead in sin. And I want to look for him in my own strength. I want to reach out to him. And he can't. Two reasons, because of the crowd. And another reason, because he was short. Don't we feel in our life sometimes, when we come even to church as Christians, that, oh, Jesus is for them, not for me. He's for that crowd. I'm looking for him and he's so busy with everybody that I feel so insignificant. I'm not important to him anymore. Sometimes we can feel like that. That he's there to answer their prayer. He's there to answer their cry. He's there to meet their need. But what about me? I'm a sinner. I'm a chief tax collector. What about me? And another thing, what dawned on him, man, not only because of the crowd I can get a hold of Christ, but also because I'm of short stature. When I was growing up, as I said many times, we have a bunch of boys in our home. And some of my brothers, they're tall. Especially the youngest one, David. He's the tallest of everybody. And to be honest with you, look at me, I'm not that tall. If I was not on the stage, you probably would need glasses to see me, right? So when I was growing up, I had an issue with this. How come my brothers are tall and I'm a little guy? Because when you're tall, when you're strong, there's a lot of benefits to that. You can be handsome. When you grow up and time to date, girls can say yes quicker to you maybe. When you're tall, you can offer strength. You're decent. You're prideful. There's a lot of self-esteem, a lot of strength and a lot of pride can be in people that feel confident who they are. less trust in others, in God, and more trust in myself? Because in our society, this is how we proceed. You have to look a certain way to be cool and to be accepted in the society. I remember one time, there was a stick on a tree, and I climbed because they were saying, if you climb for a few minutes a day on a tree, naturally you grow a little longer. And you might to believe those things that you're trying to change yourself. And naturally, maybe you can do it a little bit, naturally, maybe a little bit. But even though we're changing physically, we never change in our own strength spiritually. And I tried to do that. And my younger brother, Jacob, I asked him one time to just get a hold of my knees, my legs, so it could be a little heavier, so I grow a little quicker. You know what I mean? And when he did that, I felt such a pain in my back. And we never did that again. And I had to come to the senses that I am who I am, and I'm in need of Christ. I can't change nothing about me. The Bible says that we all fall short of the glory of God. No matter how tall you are physically, in front of God, before God, we all fall short. And we're in need of salvation. I had an opportunity to do some ministry in Mexico. And there were people that were carrying heavy stuff on their heads. Sometimes they carry stuff and they don't even hold it. It's almost like they put it there and they just walk. And I'm thinking, wow, those things that they're carrying never made them shorter. What I'm trying to say is, no matter how heavy things you can put on your head, it will not make you shorter. Or no matter how much you're going to stretch yourself, it's not going to make you a long person the way you want to be. It might bring a little bit of a difference in your life, but ultimately, as a human nature, you'll always be the same. And this story, I began to read differently. It doesn't just say that, oh, for some reason Zacchaeus was a short guy. There's a reason why he was short. And his shortness, his lack of ability to be tall, he could not see Jesus. There was only one place that he knew that if he wants to see Jesus, it has to be at the tree. I have to go to the tree. And he ran, the Bible says he ran towards the tree. He climbed on the sycamore tree. And all of a sudden you would expect that Zacchaeus will look and be like, oh, Jesus, right there, here I am. I'm waving, I'm screaming. But it was not the case. The Bible says that when he climbed this tree, Jesus was walking by. And Jesus looked up and saw Zacchaeus. And he says, Zacchaeus, they never met before. And he calls him by name. Jesus knew him. Jesus knew the desires that he has in his heart to look for him. He knew that there was emptiness in his life. He knew that this guy was rich. This guy had everything. He had finances, he had a house, he had everything. But he was lacking the power of Christ in his life. There was still emptiness in his heart. And Jesus foreknew this. And he knew his name. And when he came to a point in his life that he was searching, there has to be something more in life. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down because today I must be in your home. Today, not tomorrow, but today I must come into your house. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when I'm here to provide for you. And if we read the story, Zacchaeus has finances. He had money. And we know that in this society, if you have money, you almost like have the world. Anything that you want, in a snap of a finger, everything is here. Especially with wealthy people. Anything. Anything they want. I was watching a documentary on some of the wealthy people. And they said that even if they're in Dallas and if they want dinner to have in New York, guess what? Private plane. They're in New York, they have dinner, and then they go back home. Anything they have. But brothers and sisters, no matter how wealthy we can be, no matter how rich we can be, no matter how much we can possess, we can never buy our way to God. You can never be like, oh,
I'm in the presence of God because I can buy this thing.
No, nah, no. No matter how much we possess in our life, we cannot purchase or buy our way into the presence of God. The meeting that has to play, that has to be with us and God, has to be at the cross, has to be at the old rugged tree. This is the only place that we can meet with God. Nothing that we can perform, nothing that we can do, no good deeds, no money, nothing can buy the access with us and with God. Only at the tree we can come and say, God, I'm coming to Golgotha. I'm coming where you shed your blood for me. And I'm coming by faith because I want to meet with you. And yet those desires you had given me, and yet you knew me even before I got here. And you knew me by name. This is the gospel. And he saw Zacchaeus. He says, Zacchaeus, today I must be in your home. Today salvation came to your home. And one of the verses, I don't know how theologically correct this is, but one of the verses that struck me, he says in verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Not what which is lost, but was lost. And I began to think that. Why does it say in the past tense, he came to search and to seek me and you because we were lost? So that means at one time in the humanity history, we were not lost. And it comes back to Adam and Eve. They were in a perfect presence of the Lord. They were in a communion with God. They were walking with God. They were talking with God. And because of disobedience and sin that came into the world, that relationship was lost. And all of a sudden, we as a humanity together were lost. And now he's saying, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. In different words, that relationship that I have for you, the desires and the plan that I have for you, it's still there. Because of disobedience, it was lost, but I came to renew it. Zacchaeus, today I must come into your house. Today is the day of salvation. No riches, no performance, nothing that you can offer to me. But when you come to the tree, I see you. Even before you see me in the crowd, I know you. And I know you by name. In Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. He knows me, he knows you. Before we even born, he knew us. And he knew that you would be sitting here in Summit Community Church, hearing the gospel of good news, that without Jesus, we are lost. And all what is left for us to do is to believe in him and say, God, come into my life. Save me, wash me, forgive me of my sin. I trust you. I believe in you. It's not what I can perform to please you, but it's my faith, because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. I can't please you. No finances that I have, no good deeds that I can do. Nothing can please you except my faith in you. And when I have faith in you, out of that comes the good works that we can share to other people. And other people, when they see that, they will worship God. Out of that, we're not doing good things to be saved, but we're doing good things because we're saved. Big difference. Big difference. Zacchaeus, come, because today I must be at your house. Jesus Christ came to save us. Jesus Christ came to see us. And Jesus Christ knows you by name. Amen. If I can have the musicians to come up. And I'm just going to give you an opportunity. If you're here and if you're not walking with the Lord, you never give your life to Christ. I pretty much in a few minutes just preach the gospel. What is the gospel? It's not us searching and doing things, but it's God who searches for us. And the opportunity is here given to us
to say, God, I come to the cross. I come to this tree because in naturally, I'm in short. I cannot see you. I cannot reach to you. Because of the crowd, my mentality was that you're only for those people. You're only far away. You're only dealing with the churches, not with me. But today, according to the word of God, when we come to the cross and we say, God, I am coming here to meet with you. Because the only place where we can meet with God is at the cross. At the cross. At the cross. And on the cross, Jesus is saying, I died so you can have life. I was bruised so you can be healed. I was cast out so you can be accepted. I was neglected so you can be known. And it doesn't matter if people don't know your name. It doesn't matter what you did in your life. Zacchaeus was a bad guy. He was a guy that had things in his life because he was lying to people and taking the money from people. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go and give it back. This is what transformation does. It's a desire that comes from the Holy Spirit to do right in life. It doesn't mean that you'll walk like a Superman, everything will be perfect. No. You can fall, you can do mistakes, but God is there to remind you, hey, I give you the power to do the right thing. I want to go this way. Hey, don't do that. It's going to hurt somebody. The power of the Holy Spirit is in us to guide us. So when we come to Christ, in different words, it's laying down all what we have to Him and say, God, you're in control. You're under control. I give everything to you. And I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful that you know my name. And also for people that know Christ, for people that are walking with God, sometimes we can feel that we need to put a red carpet in front of us and do all these things to come in the presence of the Lord. But the Bible says, come boldly into my presence. And that word, when it says, come boldly into my presence, I'm thinking of something. If I do everything right, and if I belong there, right, I'm just kind of coming in. When I come home, I'm coming home because this is my house. This is where I belong. But when I do something wrong, my knees are kind of shaking. And I don't have that much of a confidence to come home. I don't have that boldness to come home. When I was a kid, I did something stupid on the street. Guess what? I was crawling through the window to go to my house because I was afraid that my parents will see me in the door and they'll read on my forehead what I did. I was sneaky. But when we, as people, did even something wrong, this is what it says, but come boldly. You know what? Because it's not what you can perform. It's not what you can do to achieve. But come boldly, the way you are, wherever where you're at, come boldly to my presence. You can't fix this in your own strength. So for that reason, come boldly. And I can fix this. And I can help you. And I can reach out to you. And I can heal you. I can forgive you and wash you. Because He is God. Amen. The gospel is good news. And the good news is not just, it's not just that Jesus died for you not to go to hell. But the good news is also that Jesus died so you can live and live a life in abundance in Him. Christian life is not, it's not about do this and don't do that. Christian life is living fully in Christ and knowing that you don't even need that to make you happy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The presence of God that is in our life, it's enough for us to live a victorious life, for us to live a life fully given to Him, pleasing Him. This is what the Christian life is about. If your Christian life is do this and do that, do this and do that, I want to remind you, let's come back, church, to the cross. Because the gospel is simple, it's not complicated. Everything is founded at Christ, in that cross. And Jesus says, I see you first before you see me. I know you even before you were born. And this was the day that I set for you to to have an opportunity to invite me into your home because I belong there. See, Jesus did not say, listen, may I come in or not? He said, I belong there, but now it's your choice. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna invite me and let me in? Or are you gonna say, no, go your way, Jesus, go with the crowds. He belongs in our life. He belongs in our life, brothers and sisters. And for that, when He comes in, everything changes. And we are never the same. Stand together, please. During the song of this message spoke to you, even if you're walking in your own ways and running away from God, and you want to just say, Jesus, I'm sick and tired running around. I am a short guy. I can't see you. I can't reach you. Even though I have some things in my life, they cannot buy the access into your presence. But all what I know to do, according to your word, I come to the cross because this is where I can find salvation. And I want that. And if you're here tonight that you're not saved and you did not commit your life to Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, all what you have to do is saying, God, I come to you. I believe your word that you are the Son of God. And you rose from the dead. I put my trust and faith in you. And I want to follow you. And He will give you the power and the strength to do that. Let's close our eyes. And if this is you, come and we'll pray together. But if you don't feel comfortable, you can stay where you're at and just ask God to come into your life because He belongs there.